Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
The story of Signature in the Cell is a long one, especially for those that have known and worked with its author, Dr. Stephen C. Meyer. Meyer directs the Center for Science and Culture at the Discovery Institute in Seattle. Indeed, he was one of the founders of the program there and one of the architects of the intelligent design movement in the early 1990s. Signature in the Cell is the fruit of over 20 years of study and research on the origins of life. Meyer writes in the book that his intellectual curiosity into the mystery of the origins of biological information dates back to 1985. His degrees at the time were in physics and geology, and he was working in the oil industry. Not surprisingly, looking for information.
I started out in the field of exploration geophysics, and what I did for the large multinational oil company that I worked for, Atlantic Richfield, was I did something called digital signal processing. I looked at seismic sections, seismic signals that came back from the depths of the earth. We had ways of detecting and measuring them and timing their arrival. And then you'd get all that information. It would have to be processed in a large computer, a big Cray computer. And the computers at that time were very large. So I was aware of the whole field of information processing.
Almost by accident, Meyer chanced upon a conference that year in Dallas, Texas, that featured a panel of scientists arguing about a theory that would later be called the design hypothesis. On one side were the authors of a then-recent book titled Mystery of Life's Origins, Charles Thaxton, Walter Bradley, and Roger Olson. The other side was essentially most of the rest of the participants and many of the audience members, including Dr. Russell Doolittle, who argued strongly that chemical evolution was destined to be the best explanation for the first life.
And so I had no inkling of this debate. I wasn't involved in this kind of thing. I was doing practical applied science. I was looking at doing digital signal processing of seismic surveys. Interesting stuff. But one day in February of 19... that's the other anniversary. February of 1985, I walked into a conference, literally off the street. I'd heard about the night before at the Dallas Hilton downtown. It was a conference that had been funded by a Dallas businessman named William Garrison. If he's here tonight or in town, all I can say is you have no idea what you set in motion. And Mr. Garrison funded this conference. It was a conference of people who held a materialistic worldview and people who held a theistic worldview, but these weren't ordinary people. These were Nobel Prize winners. They were the top cosmologists, origin of life scientists, and people who did neuroscience. The three questions they were addressing were the origin of the universe, the origin of life, and the origin of human consciousness. And the conference literally changed my life. I walked in, I sat down, and there was Alan Sandage in the first session announcing how he had become a religious believer because of the evidence of the new cosmology, which pointed to the beginning of the universe. He had originally been slated to speak on the side of the materialist atheist position and had unceremoniously walked across to sit with the other guys. In the next session that afternoon, there was a discussion of the origin of life. There was some apparently young upstarts in the discussion, a local chemist named Charles Thaxton, who had written an important book called The Mystery of Life's Origin. And he was on the panel with Walter Bradley, a very established professor of thermodynamics and polymer scientist from Texas A&M. On the other side of the panel were leading origin of life researchers. But someone had joined Thaxton and Bradley that was completely unexpected as well. His name was Dean Kenyon. He had published the leading chemical evolutionary theory about the origin of life in a book called Biochemical Predestination. It was the leading college-level text on how life started from simple chemicals. At this conference, he announced publicly for the first time that he no longer believed his own theory. In fact, he explained why it wouldn't work, and he went on to express support for something he called the design hypothesis. And he said that he agreed with Thaxton and Bradley that the information that was required to build the cell pointed powerfully to a designing intelligence. The reaction to this was part of what intrigued me, because up to that point, everyone agreed, there was no doubt about this, that the state of origin of life biology was in a state of impasse. Everyone agreed that there was no undirected evolutionary process that could explain the origin of the complexity of the cell, and in particular, this crucial information problem. By the way, nothing has changed on that. If you saw the movie Expelled last year, you saw at the very end of the film, Richard Dawkins, who is not known for his restraint and expression of support for evolutionary theory, acknowledged that no one knows how life first originated, and he meant no one knows from an evolutionary point of view. I was a young scientist, I heard this conversation, and I was absolutely intrigued.
In the book, Meyer explains that the conference changed the course of his life and set him on a lifelong journey of trying to unravel a mystery that even Darwin didn't wade into, the origin of the first life.
So in this discussion, it was clear that Thaxton and his colleagues had struck a nerve, and they had proposed an idea that was actually absolutely fascinating, which was that the digital code, the information that's embedded in DNA, is truly informational. It's informational in the same sense as a digital code, and therefore it likely had the same kind of origin, that it required some kind of intelligent cause, they said. Now, this was just an idea that they floated, something that they proposed in the epilogue to their book, but it was clear that they were seriously considering it, and it was clear also that the other scientists on the panel were not too happy about this idea. And it struck a nerve, and there was a rather heated discussion that broke out. So I witnessed this in the audience. I had just come in literally off the street. I'd heard about the conference the night before. And I stayed around afterwards to talk to a number of the people, and then ended up meeting Thaxton. He found out what I did, and I'd done some science writing at this point. He invited me to come to his office, and I began to discuss those ideas and on a regular basis. And a year later, I was... I had left my job in the oil fields or oil industry and was off to grad school in Cambridge. I'd received a Rotary scholarship to study the history and philosophy of science. And by the time I got there, I already had a project because I'd been talking to Thaxton about this topic so much that I'd become really fascinated with the whole topic of the origin of life.
From the oil fields of Texas, Meyer headed east. He was awarded a Rotary scholarship to study at Cambridge and decided to get his PhD in the history and philosophy of science with a focus on origin of life research. He writes, "If my sense of the scientific status of the problem was accurate, then a mystery was at hand. If it was the case that evolutionary theory could not explain the origin of the first life, because it could not explain the origin of the genetic information in DNA, then something that we take for granted was quite possibly an important clue in a mystery story."
I was intrigued by Thaxton's ideas, but he floated them not in a full book-length treatment or an argument. He floated them in a short epilogue, making a suggestive, kind of intuitive case that information seems to be the kind of thing that comes from intelligent agents. And he said, we know that based on our uniform experience. But he didn't develop this, and I was fascinated by this, and I was also fascinated by this general question, this DNA enigma. Here we had, in the shape of the DNA, the information in life, we had a feature that everyone agreed looked designed. Digital code, even Richard Dawkins says it's like a machine code, and it's uncannily computer-like, he said. But no one had an undirected process that they even claimed could mimic the powers of a designing intelligence to produce that appearance of design. So if you've got an appearance of design and no designer substitute mechanism to explain it, maybe there's evidence of actual design.
The mystery deepened while Meyer was at Cambridge, and his list of questions to be answered grew. What exactly is biological information? Do scientists use the term information when referring to what is stored in DNA simply as a metaphor? Or did the sequence of chemicals in DNA literally function as a code? Ultimately, one question became the theme of Meyer's research and is addressed throughout the book. Where does biological information come from? What are its origins? That is one major theme of Signature in the Cell. In future episodes, we'll look further at Meyer's beginnings in Cambridge and hear as he explains how he began to unravel this DNA mystery and how he began to formulate answers to some of these questions.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.